That was basically a sneeze. No, we won't, because I'm explaining it now, so it's too late. But that was a sneeze.
You can still cut the explanation. That's how editing works.
Yeah, I'll edit you. Okay.
Yeah, so. I mean, you will. That's the editor's job. Trying to think. Episode 22. I'm your host, Chuck Warner, and with me, as always, is my delightful co-host, Dave Stern.
We're back, guys.
We are back. It has been a little while now.
It's been two whole weeks, which for us, surprisingly, is a long time, because the part that made that surprising to me is we are pretty reliable in putting this out. Who knew?
Yeah, that is, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but it's because of the sheer amazement that we're still doing this on a regular basis.
Yeah. We're pretty self-satisfied about the whole thing.
Yeah, we should be, though. We should feel good. But we there was a flu thing about 2 weeks ago where I got some... Well, I thought it was a flu, but it was bronchitis and a cold, and it was bad. And I basically promised Dave that if he came over to record, he would get it.
Yeah, and basically, since I was flying... I think the next day, pretty much,
yeah,
in an aeroplane, I didn't want to come down, you know, to this death house and record.
Yeah, so we didn't do that, but that was all right because that would have been released, because we were releasing on Thursdays, that would have been on Thanksgiving. That would have been
directly on Thanksgiving.
So that would have been dumb anyways.
I don't know, people could have, you know, been like, man, this Lions football game is predictably a snoozer, and then they could have, you know, thrown on an episode of I'm Trying to Think.
I think... It's been years since anyone watched the Lions game on Thanksgiving thinking they were going to be, you know, like a barn burner. They just watch it because it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just a good day for that to be on.
Yeah.
It would be football.
Because football is a thing that lasts for up to like 3.5 hours without you having to think about it, because you can just be there like, oh.
Yeah. And you could talk over it. And then, you know, now we have TiVo and the DVR technology, so you can just be like, oh, wait, something interesting happened. Rewind, rewind, rewind. Oh, look at that. That was, you know, interesting. Or not. I mean, it was the Lions.
Yeah, it's still a Lions game. Still a Lions game.
And then it was, you know, Dave was away for like a week.
Yep, yeah. Going to the old homestead for Thanksgiving, you know.
So it ended with us not really... having done a show for a bit.
Yeah, hiatus.
But anyways.
Now we're back. We're rested. We're ready.
We're ready to go.
Good to go.
And I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. Now, if you're so inclined, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/imtryingtothink. And if you're not doing that, you really should. It makes Dave feel bad when he looks and there's still, like, 9 followers.
I weep. I care deeply about Twitter, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys want to hurt Dave so badly. And it hurts me that we've been at 30 fans on Facebook for, like, 2 months now. Come on, people.
I gotta tell you, though. Chuck.
Yeah.
For one thing, if you guys want to fan us on Facebook, you know, okay, type, you know, I'm Trying to Think in the little box and the little searchy box and we should pop up. Also, I gotta say, you just screwed up, because we giving out our numbers like that,
yeah,
you just torpedoed all the leverage we had with our advertisers. Oh. Torpedoed.
Yeah. Darn.
Might as well say we got, like, whatever number of page views we got. I don't know. You know,
I don't know.
I'm keeping that silent, because it's low.
It's low, and I don't look at it.
Yeah,
It's not how we measure success.
No.
We measure success by...
Lives changed.
Are we here?
Number of lives changed.
Are we here on Saturday to record? Yes. Success.
Ah.
Lives changed would also be a... I think that would be a bad one, too. Reality changed. We are huge in the reality wars.
Because I'll tell you, in terms of lives changed, there's at least one, because now... I know I have to make room to schedule this, to record this, and edit it.
Exactly.
It's changed my life.
Yeah, but...
giving me a bunch of crap I gotta do.
All right, well, so Thanksgiving's over.
Yes, it is.
Lions did not win.
Yeah, you know, as is, you know, one of our many American Thanksgiving traditions. The, you know, the Lions didn't win. I ate turkey. Yeah, that's mostly it.
I've been completely screwed up now. I don't know for what, 10 days. I have no idea, but I didn't eat turkey. I'm really messed up.
I can see that would warp your kind of calendar views. Like, okay, I didn't eat turkey. Now there's Christmas music. What's going on?
Where am I?
It's confusing.
My mom decided to make chicken and some standard stuff, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and stuff like that. But chicken.
That's...
and not turkey.
Why?
Because she was...
was there a consultation on this?
She didn't think there were going to be enough people eating the turkey.
So was it like
Dad
smaller chicken?
Dad doesn't eat turkey.
Because chicken
the wife
still...
doesn't eat turkey.
Ah.
So you're trimming it down right there. So I don't know, but we had some surprise guests, so I think they could eat the turkey. So I don't know. I think we would have been fine with the turkey, but I have to admit, waking up Friday, Black Friday, and not having eaten turkey, I was a little screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, that might make you be, like, just confused and disoriented. It's like,
also,
why are stupid people shopping? I haven't eaten turkey.
It doesn't make any sense. I've done Black Friday shopping for many, many years in a row now. You know, it's been years and years since I did a doorbuster. But still, I would
go out. The crazy, like, the murder people.
I haven't murdered anyone in a long time for shopping. This year I went to, the stores on the Black Friday and they didn't have anything I wanted. So I didn't engage in consumerism. So Thursday,
no turkey, no consumerism.
Friday, no consumerism. I'm not ready for Christmas. It's December now already.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure at some point I'm going to come over here and I'm just going to see you like with lights wrapped around your head because you're confused and you don't know what's going on.
I'm going to be wearing a Halloween mask, engaging in Chinese New Year festivities.
And you're going to be planting a tree.
I'm planting a tree. I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm going to be celebrating veterans. Presidents, Columbus, all of them. Because I don't know when it is. It's a nightmare. I don't know how to reset it. I can't eat turkey now. Because that's just going to mess me up even more.
I don't know, but then the question is being 10 days late better than just being completely gone? Because I think resetting yourself to 10 days late might be the best you can do. Like, go somewhere, have like a turkey sub.
Yeah, but I have to embrace the now. You know, I can't be living in the past or the future. I don't know which one it would be, but regardless, I'd be living somewhere that I wasn't. And... I gotta embrace the now, Dave. The now. And the now is, I don't know how to prepare for Christmas this year.
Well,
also,
love to help you.
There's another kicker.
I don't know from Christmas.
There's another kicker. Yeah, and there's another kicker. the big secret is out.
Which one?
Everyone in the family now knows that I'm an atheist.
Oh, was that like a Thanksgiving thing?
Yeah, I found out over Thanksgiving, yeah.
Wait, you found out over Thanksgiving?
Well,
were you not aware?
Do
you not listen to our show?
Yeah,
that's mostly
I am aware.
What you talk about.
That's not mostly what I talk about. I mention it occasionally. It's an important, you know, thing for people to know when they listen to the rest of what I say. But, you know, I put it on... it's on my Facebook.
Right.
And I had avoided friending family members. Not just because of that, but because...
no, that's just a whole can of worms.
Yeah,
that's a whole can of worms.
It is a can of worms. At some point, I decided I didn't care. So I just said, whatever. I'll friend all of you. I don't care. Well, I guess they've been talking about it.
Ooh, it's family gossip now?
Yeah, it's family gossip now.
Oh, that's exciting.
And my aunt told my grandmother...
ooh.
That my Facebook says I'm an atheist.
Uh-huh.
Which I found funny. Like, She didn't tell her that I am an atheist. She told her that my Facebook
that isn't funny.
Says that I'm an atheist.
Really, if you pick any sort of individual word or clause and, or thought that's in that sentence, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So you got Jesus Day coming up, right?
Yeah.
Which obviously the Jesus for me is completely eliminated.
Yeah, you, to me, you're Christmas strong, is Santa Claus. You're a big Christmasist, but you're a secular Christmasist. I'm a huge secular Christmas.
I don't care who's Jesus. Don't even know. Don't care. Santa Claus, Rudolph. I mean, Rudolph's commercial, a little commercial, but he's still kind of cool. He's still good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If you want to go with sort of an indie cred reindeer, I strongly recommend Blitzen.
Blitzen's pretty good. Donner. I like Donner because he also shares a name with a cannibal family.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always good. But tree, like the tree, the holly, the snow, snowmen, Charlie Brown Christmas. That's got a Jesus part, but I don't care. I never really understood the Jesus part in the whole Charlie Brown Christmas. Because they're like, what's Christmas all about? And really, the message of Charlie Brown Christmas is that Christmas is about loving things even when they're dumb or bad. Like Charlie Brown loves the Christmas tree even though it's dumb and bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's about that. It's about family. And it's about a
which
song.
Which is weird.
It's also about a song that apparently when you listen hard enough has lyrics, but for most of the years of my life, I thought it was...
I don't know. There are lyrics.
Apparently there
are
words.
Yeah. I don't know. But what I do know is, oh man, I need a cough button. We don't have cough buttons, and I have this urge to cough. So, Dave, you monologue for a second.
Okay, you go off the cough. Because talking about, Charlie Brown. All
right, now we're done.
Okay.
Okay, so Charlie Brown, though, being about family is a little weird, because you never see his parents or any adults.
Well, no, it's about your community of friends as family,
okay.
I think.
Yep. Well, irregardless of all that. So Christmas, no Jesus for me, I don't really even see what the birth of a dude who's supposed to be your savior has to do with any of the rest of it, but nobody else does either, so that's fine. So there may be some awkwardness when Jesus Day rolls around.
I look forward to that happening to you, I guess, because I'm kind of a jerk, apparently.
No, I don't really care.
It just seems like it'll produce anecdotes.
Yeah, I mean, the parents don't care, and they're, they're the...
Yeah, that's the important...
They're the important...
I mean, that's your buffer zone around the rest of the family.
Yeah, exactly. The sister doesn't care. I mean, she's really there with me. She doesn't care what I say. She supports me.
Yeah,
which
I feel
is,
like she would,
great.
She would have to not care about what you say at this point, because she still talks to you.
Yeah, exactly. One grandmother... I don't think she cares. She doesn't have the... She loves me, and that's all that matters. It's nice, and that's what's...
Right.
It's important. But then my mom's family,
That's where it's going to be a thing?
That's where it's going to be a thing, yeah. So what are you going to do? I don't, I'll just deal with it.
Yeah.
It happens.
I got nothing there. I was just raised by humanists and Jews, so what do I got?
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, well...
I got no religious family drama.
No. They, I mean, that's, yeah, nice job. And you get to do Christmas stuff as much as it counts anyways.
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted to. I mean, I choose not to because, I celebrate the traditional Christmas of my people. But, if I wanted to,
do
you
do
8 days
of gifts?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Hanukkah. I'm talking about Jew Christmas.
Oh, Jew Christmas.
I mean, I do some Hanukkah stuff sometimes. I just noticed
I've never gotten any dreidels from you.
I do possess a menorah. I don't do it up full style, but I do it sometimes. But no, I wasn't talking about Hanukkah when I said
Jew Christmas.
I don't like the menorah.
Does that make me anti-Semitic?
Yes. Let's go with yes.
All right.
Shame on you.
Because I don't like the menorah. It just doesn't do anything for me. The tree with the lights and stuff, yeah. The menorah, candles. You know what, though? I'm not a big candle guy.
There you go.
I got to admit it. Not a big candle guy.
You probably don't like Yankee candles either.
Nah, I don't. I don't really like Yankee candles. The best candle thing to me is that we have a Halloween candle holder, which is a skull.
Right.
And, you melt a candle inside and the eyes light up and the wax comes through the mouth and the eye holes. It's cool looking.
Okay, so, I've read between the lines. I get where we're going. So, don't really care for Jews, don't really care for Yankees. As a Semitic gentleman from Massachusetts, I think we should maybe take a short 5-minute break so I can seethe for a while.
So you can put a whooping on me? Is that...
No, just seethe. Whooping's not the way of my people.
Well, that's why the show works so well. I'm going to go and seethe. Because I'm an anti-Semitic, anti-Yankee. Mm-hmm. From... Not really. Yeah, I'm from a neutral place that is not New England.
Indeed.
This is like... I live in the state that is in between New England and the Midwest. And there's really nothing. We're just Pennsylvania. That's it.
Mid-Atlantic? That's not a region people have identity with, though. You know?
Yeah, but you can say Mid-Atlantic. Like are we anywhere near the ocean?
No, it doesn't make that
and
much
sense. And the rest of my state really isn't that close either.
You and someone from Delaware wouldn't be like, hell yes, and you know have like a sense of regional identity.
Yeah, I get along really well with people from Delaware.
You're going to get along, but it's not a is there a regional thing? Like,
I think, you know, you might have touched on something where people, I think Pennsylvania and a lot of Delaware, we have a lot of similar feelings about things. We're pretty close on a lot of things. Because you have, like, urban areas, but then, like, you go 12 feet and you're in, like, rural areas. Right. And that's kind of, Delaware has that too.
That kind of urban country.
But Virginia very strictly identifies itself as Southern.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and Maryland
it's
is a mix.
South.
Like, so maybe some parts of Maryland you get along with. But here's the thing about Maryland. Harbor people. We don't trust harbor people.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
Hey. Okay, that's it.
Dave is preparing to throw down. So I think we're going to have to take a quick break here as I get a whooping. We'll be right back. And welcome back to episode 22 of I'm Trying to Think. All right, so getting right down to business here. Dave.
Yes.
Take over.
All right. This is my show now, so we're going to have a lot of change. No, not that. That was... Oh, that was a disaster. You never give me a spotlight. Okay, anyhow. So we were just talking about Thanksgiving, and one experience that I had over Thanksgiving that made me think, as it were, is that you have your typical Thanksgiving, you have the Thanksgiving meal, you have the turkey, you have the stuffing, whatever, it's all good. Next day, for lunch, some sort of turkey leftovers thing. Dinner, you have some other sort of turkey leftovers thing. Lunch the next day, turkey sandwich. Then dinner that night is the night where you're just like, God damn, I am going to order some takeout because I am so done with turkey.
Done with turkey, right.
Very much done with turkey for the moment.
I didn't experience this, but go ahead.
Yeah, again, because you...
I'm lost.
Yeah, you were busy planting a tree for Arbor Day.
Go ahead.
So, we do that, get some Chinese food, It's good, it's Chinese food, the General So is around, although I think at that place, this is one of those places where he's General Gao, he's a man of many names.
Uh-huh.
But basically, the thing that I noticed at the end of the meal that kind of distressed me...
Many names and many chickens.
Yeah, he is a man of many names and fowl. But anyhow, the thing at the end of the meal that distressed me was I just realized when I kind of got a fortune cookie at the end, I don't care anymore. Like, I mean, I never, cared deeply about fortune cookies, but I appreciated that they were there, and, it was like a little like, oh, that's nice. Okay. And then there was the one fortune cookie a friend of mine got when we were eating Chinese food, which was crush your enemy until he is dead. Which, at that point was, raised fortune cookie art into the transcendent.
Right.
But, for the most part now, I just don't care. They're gone, In bed is over, that's, no one cares about that anymore.
One cares about
it's just,
in bed.
The fortune cookie, just boring. I was more interested in the cookie. Like, it could have just not come with paper,
Okay.
And it would have just been like, slightly stale, mediocre cookie. Delicious.
Yeah, I don't really like the cookie.
Yeah, they can be good sometimes, but... So, here's my question for you.
All right.
I guess, is it time to just sort of, put the fortune cookie out to pasture, or can we save the fortune cookie? Can something be done to save the fortune cookie?
Can we save the fortune cookie? I don't know, man. I don't feel quite the disdain that you do. But to say that I am, you know, still enamored. Woo! Oh, all right.
Headphones. Okay. That was, just so you guys know, that was like a B plus to A minus piece of physical comedy you just missed.
So I'm not enamored with the fortune cookie, but I'm neutral. Whatever. I open it. You pass it around the table. Haha. Okay, let's pay the bill. You know, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but I don't know. For me,
it's what do you think we could do? I mean, look, would I go to a discount Chinese restaurant if the fortune cookies had advertisements for corporations in them? Yes, absolutely. If the corporations want to subsidize my Chinese food eating, I'm on board.
You're just there, kind of break it open. ExxonMobil.
Yeah, break it open. You know, we bring good things to life. Whatever.
ConAgra.
Would I, you know, or movie advertisements? Hey, you know, mm-hmm. What a coupon.
So that's your thought, is coupons. Basically, since the fortunes, because I think that's one of the problems, one of the things that's caused my decline in interest, is basically fortunes mostly suck. Like,
You got the fortune, which isn't that interesting usually.
Most of the times, not a fortune. Most of them are aphorism cookies.
Yeah, I mean.
Or you get the ones that are fortune cookies, I think, and this is a problem with them, because, you know, of the general distribution of the whole thing,
Yeah. They
basically just try and be cold reading cookies, where, you know, it's sort of the first part step in a cold reading, where they're, like, so vague, someone will be like, yeah, but without the rest of the cold reading, that's really unimpressive.
All right, I accept that they're not going to be fortune-telling cookies. I just accept that. But, no, I think, you know, there's another problem with the fortune cookie that you're not talking about.
Uh-huh. We got to lay out all the problems before we find out a solution.
The reverse side Chinese language lesson. Very aggressive, nationalistically, you know what I mean? Like, it's the immigrants, the Chinese immigrants come over, they open these restaurants, and then they're like, yeah, someday you're going to be speaking our language, round eye. Sorry, that was racist.
It's true. As a round eye, I felt fairly offended.
But regardless,
as a white man,
It's aggressive nationalism. You know what I mean?
I mean, you've seen the debt, right? Off. You've seen the debt.
The debt.
National debt.
Yes, but you know.
So I'm saying, the cookie's got a point. Is all I'm saying.
What do you think is going to happen with the national debt exactly? Do you think that
they're going to knock
on the door and say, "Hey, you know." It's time to pay up.
No, I've been reading some magazines. I've been reading some newsletters. They were very professionally Xeroxed. I'm pretty sure that they're going to cash in the national debt in exchange for forcing us to learn Chinese.
Well, yeah. That's,
so the cookies get you ahead of the game.
And that's what, I mean, that's what I reject wholly as a notion. No.
What, the thing I just made up?
Yeah. All that stuff you made up.
Okay, you're probably right to do that. But anyhow, back to fortune cookies. Here's one thing I think that, you know, instead of just a sort of the vague cold reading thing that I think everyone at this point knows to suspect that first step of a cold reading. I may just think that because I have more faith in people than I should.
Yeah, you are way off. Most people
what I
do
think
not. Your
fortune cookies should do.
Crazy.
That would make them more interesting.
Yeah.
Is just go balls out and specify. Like, I want to crack open a fortune cookie that just says, you know, next Thursday, you're going to get laid. You know, something like that, you know. This Friday, you will die.
Okay.
Like, because that way, the way I see it is, you know, either it's going to be right and you're blown away. Or much more likely, you know, depending on the cookie, it's going to be wrong and you'll be like, you know, ha, that was wrong. But when it's that specific, it's something you're going to think about. You're engaged with the cookie.
Okay.
You and your friend are going to talk about it. You're going to be like, oh, man. This thing says I'm going to die on Friday, but this other one that I got from my friend who didn't want his says I'm going to get laid on Thursday, you know?
Yeah, but how long is that going to be interesting?
Yes,
10 minutes.
It's temporary. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, fortune cookies are never going to be fantastically interesting.
All right.
But we got to, you know, put a Band-Aid on those things.
Let me, okay, look, we got to change gears here.
Okay, so we got speaking corporate of sponsorships. Thanksgiving, we got.
Okay, corporate sponsorships, coupons. That's the only way to fix fortune cookies. Topic
okay,
over.
From economically, from topic the business over. Side. Okay, yeah.
There's just subsidize nothing you can
our
do
food.
With them.
Subsidize our food.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do with them. And I mean, you can still have the fortune on one side, but the other side should be coupons or corporate advertising.
All right.
It fixes it.
But can we deck the cookies out in decal like they were NASCARs?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Great idea, actually. Because, I mean, we don't really look at them as food in the first place, so, you know, it's like crunchy paper, pretty much.
Also, they could be like edible stickers, even.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Just paint it on, edibly. So.
Okay, perfect.
Speaking solved. Of Thanksgiving and the Chinese, I'm done with it, Dave.
You're done with Chinese Thanksgiving?
No, I'm done with it.
But that's the best holiday of the year.
I don't care about the voicemail. I don't care about the golf club. I don't care about the broken window. I don't care about the tree or the SUV. I don't care about any of it. I don't want to hear about it. It doesn't concern me. I just don't really care.
I don't know, but what people who play sports do when they're not playing sports that doesn't affect their sports playing is the biggest sports story of the year.
I do not get it. I don't care. I don't care. Nothing illegal was done.
It's not that interesting.
It's not interesting. It's if a you bunch had of pretty asked boring me, people. If you had asked me, ask me about any celebrity athlete and whether or not they are cheating on their wife.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
There That's you go.
That's probably correct.
Yeah. It's correct probably in 70% of cases, if not more. Why are we surprised? Why are we interested?
I don't know. People
I'm not. That's like, the answer.
I mean, it's people like news stories.
And you're going to tell
that
me.
That involve angry ladies.
You're going to pay attention to a reality TV star when they're coming out with information. You're going to give that person more of the celebrity whoredom that they have invested so much of their time and energy in achieving in the first place? No. I'm done with reality TV too. Done with it. I mean, not reality TV as in documentary television. No, that's interesting.
I don't know. I think we may have to. That may just have to be a casualty that goes aside.
No,
honestly, we may have to throw the bathwater and the baby out.
No, I think we can. I think we can.
No more documentaries. I think everything should be fiction at this point.
Let me qualify this. If you're involved in a TV show that has a contest element where you can win money, no, canceled. Out. Burn it. Gone. Off my TV.
So does that mean
gone.
That what we're losing by killing this stuff, we're losing game shows?
No. If it occurs entirely in a studio, I don't care. That's fine. Even bullshit reality TV, or even bullshit game shows like, what was that one that they canceled with Joe Rogan? Fear Factor.
That's the one, yeah.
They canceled that? I don't know. I never watched
it
in
know.
The first place.
Maybe.
Don't care. Not an interesting game show. To be an interesting game show, it is either, you know, cash money prizes for spinning wheels or trying to golf or Plinko, quiz shows, and even those get old, kind of, depending on how much drama you surround. If your quiz show is only asking 9 questions in a half hour, you did something wrong. Your formula is off. But anyways, game shows are fine. Unless they are spread out over the entire season, and the point is that we follow goofy people.
Wait, are there game shows that do that that aren't, like, reality shows? Are there?
No, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, Survivor.
So basically you're trying to scope it precisely.
Big Brother.
To leave game shows in,
yeah.
Take reality
if I
shows
find
out.
Out information about the contestant...
That is
beyond,
not in a 20-second soundbite?
Yeah, beyond the 20-second snippet of what they do or their stupid hobby, no, your show is off, gone. And you should be shot. And all the people who volunteered for your show should be shot. The real world was an interesting experiment. Anything post that, firing squads. And I'm anti-death penalty, Dave. This is where I draw the line. This is about personal vengeance. This is about purity. Of thought and, I don't know, some other stuff. Regardless, firing squads. But I just don't care. I don't care. I don't want to hear the voicemail. I don't care. You can't spend 20 minutes of television trying to make me care. I'm not gonna care.
Is this one of those problems you have that's much more of a problem because, like, ESPN is on in your house?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. SportsCenter has been ridiculously inundated with this crap. And you have, you know, I mean, the only good thing to come out of it is the, you know, the Daily Show and the Colbert Report making fun of the media's obsession with the bullshit.
Well, bullshit, I mean, if there's one thing that's an unstoppable cultural force, it's complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah, it's...
So, I don't know what you can do, just, man.
Oh, I don't care. I have a podcast, so I get to spend, you know, my time ranting and raving about how much I don't care.
Yep. And then sort of going on a tangent where, like, I don't know, sort of poor, like, kids who just went to Hollywood to get ahead and had a dream and took bad PA jobs on Tool Academy get shot.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know the job you're taking. It's just like the contractors on the Death Star. Same situation, philosophically. If you signed up for Tool Academy or the Bret Michaels love bus show. Oh my god!
Rock of what love a of
fucking
bus.
Train wreck. Yeah, I'm sorry. If you signed up for that, you knew what you were getting into, and what you're getting into was a firing squad. Well, and getting into being in front of a firing squad.
No, I think you're getting Rock of Bus Love confused with the Firing Squad Love. That was a different show.
Rock of Firing Squad Love. But, you know, I watched... the only other good thing to come out of this stuff is The Soup. Because The Soup at least lets me say, hey, you know...
When you say The Soup, you mean the television show?
Yeah.
I was hoping that this whole horrible scandal nonsense had resulted in some sort of branded soup.
That would be possibly delicious.
Mostly just thinking about that because I'm really keen on making some
soup. You are really, yeah. This is like the 14th time you've mentioned soup today.
I'm just saying, after this show, you know, after we get this shit in the can...
You're going to make soup.
No, I'm going to go purchase ingredients for soup. I'm probably going to make it tomorrow. But
I'm just saying, is it gazpacho soup?
No.
Easy soup, delicious soup, and good for you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's served cold.
That's what makes
it's
so
the first
good.
Day of winter. That's crazy. No.
No, it's good.
Chicken noodle.
Any day.
Chicken noodle.
Oh, man. I'd go with maybe a vegetable stew, like with beef. But no chicken noodle for me.
Now I'm starting standard.
All right, well, and if you're going to be a soup chef, you go for it. When you're ready for gazpacho, you come see the Chuck Man, because I know my gazpacho.
All right, and I think that now that we've covered gazpacho versus chicken noodle, we've pretty much milked all we're going to out of the scandal-ridden, controversial news of the day.
Yeah, well, of the frickin' 2 weeks now.
Ugh.
Ugh. Well, not 2 weeks, maybe, but it's like 10 days. It's a fortnight. Is that a fortnight?
No.
No, fortnight's
two weeks.
That's a 10-day.
Yeah,
which,
that's a tenner. They call those tenners.
Do they?
Yeah.
It's a 10-day,
like, hey,
which
love,
is...
I'll see you in a tenner. That's how that goes.
I don't think that's actually true. I think that I'm deriving it from the Forgotten Realms Dungeons & Dragons setting, which...
Well, now you've just made...
Yeah,
a lot. That's... You've made several mistakes, really.
Ready to pay for them. We'll do so... After the short break, or during the short break, regardless.
Yeah, whichever works.
Well, you know what? We will be right back.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Said I, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que será, será.
And welcome back to episode 22 of I'm Trying to Think. Never knew Derek Doors Day was so fatalist.
Yeah, I know. Actually, there's a brief point that I want to make about that song.
Go ahead.
Because I don't remember why. Clearly, this was when I was younger, and I misheard it at some point.
All right. This is going to be possibly good.
For a very long time, I thought the lyrics were the following, which I kind of like, because to me it sounds much more like something your mother would say after maybe, it's been like maybe a long day, and you've kept nagging her about, with, you know, just these annoying constant questions about your future.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future is not up to you, it's up to me.
That's a good one. That, I should use that as... That's a t-shirt. The future's not up to you, it's up to me.
I thought that's what it was for, like, at least a decade of my life.
That might give us some interesting insight into how you were raised, but we'll save that for another time, because it's mailbag time!
Mailbag!
Ding, ding, ding! Because somebody emailed us.
Yes.
I know that
we're so easy to delight.
It really is. Come on, people. All right. Listener Ed emailed us and asked.
I like how you said that as if it's a nickname. Like it's old Listener Ed.
It's just Listener Bob, Listener Joe, Listener Tinko. He's a good one. He's my favorite. Listener Ed asked. I've always kind of wondered about the law of the excluded middle. In other words, is the negation of a true statement always a true statement? In logic, I think this might be axiomatic, but it clearly doesn't always hold in the real world. If I say I don't like something, that generally implies that I dislike it, but if I say I'm not sad, that doesn't mean I'm happy. So what's up with that?
All right, well, before we answer the question, I think it would behoove us to define for our listeners who are not, you know, giant honking logic nerds.
Right, the law of the excluded middle is. Let's talk about this in terms of Bertrand Russell, who we've talked about several times.
Man, you just Frenchied him up something good.
Bertrand Russell?
Because, I mean, he was a very English gentleman. I think he was a solid Bertrand.
Bertrand Russell?
Okay, fine. So Bertrand
Russell. He had three laws of thought. That he said are a priori, which means that, you know, they exist before any, you know...
Evidence or anything in the world is necessary. Basically, before anything.
Before anything, right. The first is, whatever is, is. The second law is, I think, the law of negation or something. Basically, something cannot be... And not, also not be. All right, let me. You put an extra not in there,
yeah, and this is where we want to be precise. Yeah.
Something cannot be X and not X at the same time. You know, something cannot be blue and not blue at the same time. It must either be blue or not blue. And the third law. Is the law of the excluded middle, which, oh wait, did I mess that up?
I don't know what I did there. Just go straight to the law of the excluded middle. I don't know. You can review your Bertrand Russell if you need to.
But. I will possibly review my Bertrand Russell. Oh, man. Yeah, okay, I got it right.
Okay, I'm on the right track.
You
got it. I was prepared for a little, you know, you saw me, I was cranking up the music.
I just pulled out my notes.
But if you needed it, but you got it.
Yeah, sorry, it's non-contradiction is the second law. And the third law is the law of the excluded middle, which is to say everything must either be or not be. And you can also sort of apply qualities to that, although that can get a little foggy. But in logic, it works purely on.
Right.
A number is either...
Two or not two,
for instance, yeah. Or it's either, for instance, a whole number or not a whole number. Those two, yeah, those things are, it's either negative or not negative. Now, you can't say, here's where the confusion starts, and we can start with this example. You can't say something is either negative or positive. It's not true, because negative and positive are not
it's not a negation.
They are not the negation of the other because the number zero exists. And the number zero is neither negative nor positive. Math nerdery. But that means that negative is not necessarily the negation of a positive number.
Yes. If I may kind of take your ball and
go for it. Take my ball.
All right. Yoink. Ball is taken. Running with it. Basically, what Ed seemed to be a little tripped up on, essentially, is he was sort of conflating the sort of logical principle of a negation with the sort of English language principle of an opposite, which is, you know, understandable. They're similar, but the difference is, you know, like, for example, in his example, he talked about happy and sad, where, you know, it's not, and, you know, he was saying that, you know, the law of the excluded middle fails in that case because, you know,
if you say you're not sad, that doesn't mean you're happy. But
exactly.
Those two are not necessary.
Yeah, it's not a negation in the strict sense. Basically, the law of the excluded, because that's just an opposite, because, you know, there are many other emotions. You know,
yeah, and a lot
angry,
of a lot of people
feeling
could,
neutral,
could describe
feeling
situations.
Sleepy, gassy.
A lot of people could describe situations where they felt both happy and sad.
And gassy, yes.
And gassy. You know, when we go off to college, I think is a good time in our life where we're like, I'm happy to be on my own, but maybe I'm sad to leave my friends or my family.
And I'm eating a lot of junk food constantly because I'm unsupervised. So.
Right. This
gassy.
Stuff is good.
Gassy.
Yeah, gassy. But he says, is the negation of a negation of a true statement always a true statement? And I think it is.
Yeah, I believe
even
for
in
the
real world.
Precise definition of negation.
Yeah,
yes.
You have to be clear about how you're negating something. So if I say I'm not sad, the negation of that is I am sad. And the negation of the negation is I'm not sad.
Well, technically it's I'm not sad.
I'm not. I'm not sad.
You can,
I'm
hack,
not sad.
You can
I'm
hack
not,
some
not,
of those
not,
out.
Not sad. Yeah.
You can hack some of those
you
out.
You can hack it for clarity's purpose, yes.
For not destroying the English language purposes.
Yeah.
You can hack a couple of those out.
So the thing about the real world is we sometimes need that idea of the dichotomy, of a true dichotomy, and we have to apply it to situations because it's useful philosophically and ethically a lot, but, I mean, it's useful for a lot of other things, too. One example for me is always that we assume when a trial begins, a criminal trial, that a person is either guilty or not guilty. Now, the thing is, an outcome of a trial can be a lot more than guilty or not guilty. There's, you know, hung juries, cases are dismissed for various reasons and things like that. But we assume that a person is either guilty or not guilty of the crime. And, I mean, really, it should be absolutely true that they're either guilty
I mean,
or not
guilty
of the crime.
That is a strict negation, but now you're getting into the legal system proper.
You could get into the legal minutia of is it murder one or murder two or something like that. But the fact of the matter is you've got a set of circumstances that are either true or not true. The defense is going to possibly say not true or mitigated, and the prosecution is going to say this is the set of circumstances that we say are.
I think we're
happened.
All aware, basically, how a trial goes. Where are you going? Where are you going with this?
Well, this is just an example of a place where we
a place
enforce
where we
a dichotomy.
A dichotomy,
right? I mean, but we're always assuming dichotomies.
We are dichotomy creating machines, and sometimes they are
false
sort of
dichotomy.
Yeah, sometimes they're proper negations. See, you were actually giving the world and its dichotomy creating this a little more credit than I do. Because I was going to say, sometimes they are correct dichotomies, but usually they're false dichotomies.
Usually they're
I would
false
say dichotomies are rarely sort of proper negations in the way that would make them a sort of logical dichotomy.
But I think
dichotomy.
We make millions of subconscious dichotomies all the time that are true. And we just don't think about them because they naturally resolve themselves. For instance, I don't know, when I go to the bathroom, the light is either on or not on. I don't really have to think about that or worry about it. But my course of action is different depending on which of the statements is true. And then I assess the situation. I make, a judgment, and then I make an action. And, I mean, there is a true dichotomy there. The light is either on or not on. You could niggle about somewhere, on, but it's not bright, or it's on, but it burnt out. Well, you know, I can make my own assessments about which shading, side of the dichotomy.
That's not...
Right.
Okay, yeah, I get what you were saying now. I think
millions of our dichotomies...
Those aren't the sort of value dichotomies we were talking about, though. That's where the sort of false dichotomies...
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Not only value, but descriptive. People say... let's talk about atheism again.
I'm surprised it didn't come up in the fortune cookie bit, honestly.
Yeah, well, you know, I just throw it out there as much as I can. I
was waiting for the, you know, by the way, if you believe in fortune cookies, you're a fool, because there is no God.
That really doesn't have to do with atheism. That's more of a skeptic naturalism thing for me, which is...
Okay, skepticism was the other
thing. I don't really believe that...
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, that paper can predict the future. I mean, unless it's got some really good stuff.
I know, did you ever make the...
No, I never flippy the flippy things that the girls did in high school.
Yeah.
That was for girls, man.
I didn't make them either.
I lived in gender enforcement high. Gender role enforcement high.
I'm really, I don't know, this might be just sort of a, you know, part of my sort of snob, elite private school snobbery education, but I'm surprised it took till high school until you got the flippy things. I thought it was more like a middle school thing.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
That was like a middle school, elementary school.
The gender role enforcement was a part of the curriculum throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you tried to make one of those, or someone's like, hey, you're writing a MASH note,
that's going
then
into your permanent,
you get severely disciplined.
It's going into your permanent record. Yeah. But before we digress too far here.
Too late.
Now, people will say, well, God exists or he doesn't exist. Okay, that's true to a degree. But it's an enormously false dichotomy, because the word God... doesn't hold any inherent meaning. I mean, it means a being of great power or whatever, but then people will tell you all kinds of crazy stuff about what God can or can't do or wants or doesn't want. And that changes the argument every time the qualities are, you know, dissipated or changed.
Yeah, it's a word that is...
Yeah, it's a...
Not specific. It's not something you can negate
but
specifically.
But people will act as if that's... It's either A or B when there's no definition. There's not enough definition to the thing they're saying to tell whether or not it's true. And people use that as a tool to get, it's really it's an emotional argument tool extremely often. All right, you know, Dave, do you support social programs?
No.
Then you're a real American. You just use the word and say, well, you're not X, and if X is desirable, then you're not X. When, you know, it's really a matter of defining
X. So, I guess back to the excluded middle.
It works when you have a clear knowledge of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, basically, it often seems like it doesn't work, but that would be because... language is less precise than logic.
Right. And when you feel like the sad thing, for instance, if I ask you, are you sad? You're either sad or you're not sad. But sad is going to be something you define for yourself. And maybe you're not clear enough on your emotions to even feel comfortable using that as a linguistic tool. But, you know, to say sad, say I don't know if I'm sad. You know, I feel a little weird. Maybe I am sad. Maybe I'm not sad. I would find that person a little bit wishy-washy. You know, just pick one and go with it, because it doesn't really matter in the end. I don't really care if you're sad or not, because I don't know what you mean by sad.
Well, why'd you even ask the fucking question?
I don't know. Language is so difficult.
I thought you cared.
You want to say that so you express some interest in the person. You show that you're supportive, but the answer, who knows? You know, it's like when you ask somebody how their day is going or if they're all right or...
In fairness, that's just talking to fill air. That's just filling air.
I know.
Those aren't questions.
But people answer, but what does that mean? When you say I'm fine or I'm doing good, I don't know. Did your grandma get run over? Maybe your grandma got run over. You're doing fine.
It is the season for that to happen.
By reindeer, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a menace. It's just a situation that somebody needs to do something.
I'm saying, you know who's a reindeer who'll run over a grandma like crazy? Blitzen.
Well, he's got that name, Blitz.
He's not messing around.
Blitzen, you know.
He is not messing around.
I mean, you change one letter and it's Blitzed, and suddenly he's the drunk driving reindeer.
Yep.
I'm just saying. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that whatever is, and, you know, something cannot be X and also simultaneously be not X. And that's it. That's the excluded middle, baby.
Yeah, and if you think the law of the excluded missile...
That's excluded awesome. Missile. I like that one.
Oh, man. That should be... That
that's a preferable law.
That's what you get if Bertrand Russell designed the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Yeah. Yeah. It totally would have been the law of the excluded missile.
Law of the excluded missile. Oh, something man. Can... You know, a missile cannot be and also not be.
Somewhere...
Not be.
Somewhere there's someone who's a huge fan of just sort of like foreign... He's like kind of a foreign policy wonk, a philosophy nerd, and he likes jokes that were kind of delivered poorly.
Yeah.
And if he was listening right now, he'd have just crapped himself laughing, but...
Well, somebody probably crapped themselves laughing. But it probably had nothing to do with you or that joke or them listening to
the show. No, they just have problems.
They just have problems, yeah. They're probably incontinent. But that, it reminds me, you know, something we talk about occasionally on the show. This whole topic reminds me. And that is the beauty of tautology. The wisdom of tautology.
Again, yeah, what is.
Yeah, whatever
Whatever will be, will be. Something either is or is not. Is not where, quite a tautology.
Wherever you go.
There you are.
What time is it? It is always now.
I was thinking, what time is it? It's time to get ill. But that's not a tautology.
No, it's not a tautology.
It's true.
It could be a tautology if all times were times to get ill.
Okay, then yeah, it's a tautology.
All right, then. Tautology. Bam.
Because I'll tell you, it's always time to get ill.
Yeah. And now this is happening.
That's a tautology.
Beautiful tautology. I mean, undeniable truth about the universe, and it gives you a perspective on where you're at. And I mean, that kind of ties in, to me, this ties into the determinism free will debate, which, you know, we left behind weeks and weeks and weeks ago. We
hashed that out.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, to me, it's tautology, you know. Whatever happens, happens. Does it matter why? Probably not. Because it's happening. There's nothing you can do about it. Except whatever you can do about it. I mean, that's, you know, that's
well, there the you go, right there. That's another nice tautology. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it except whatever you can do about it.
To me, that is the answer to the free will versus determinism debate. Nothing you can do about it except whatever you can do about it. And that actually frames into
that's kind of like an atheist version of the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah,
it's like a version of the Serenity Prayer built on cold axiomatic logic.
Yeah, it's there's nothing you can do about it except whatever you can do about it. That's a great T-shirt right there.
Oh, that's perfect.
Ah, it's great. But it also actually falls into right back into the excluded middle, because there isn't anything you can do about it. Except what you could do about it. There's no middle ground there. There's not things you can kind of do about it.
That's an
excluded
middle.
You're either doing
something
about it or you're not doing something about it. Right. And there's the group of the things you can do something about and the group of things you can't do anything about. And there's nothing, you know. Yeah. And I think the free will people.
Yoda was into the excluded middle. If I can throw this. Wasn't he?
He was into the excluded middle. Or, I mean, getting rid of, pointing out the...
Into the law.
Yeah, the law. He was the law.
I mean, he was very Bertrand Russell-like in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'm sure that, he's Bertrand Russell-like. You wouldn't say Bertrand Russell is Yoda-like.
No, that was the other way.
Precedent, I think, is important there.
Absolutely.
But I think the free will people, the people who are really hopped up about the idea of there being free will, they're the people who want to really say... Those things that you can do something about, it's everything. I don't know that that's true. I just don't know. That's why I'm not a free will person or a determinism person.
All right.
So false dichotomy, if you ask me, Dave.
Yeah.
False dichotomy.
I would say that's probably correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was pretty much episode 22. I don't really have any. I mean, 2 weeks, 3 weeks off or whatever. I don't know. How many days did we take off? It was months, years.
Yeah, basically this is like our first podcast from our, 28th century bunker, so it's been a while, yeah.
28th century bunker strong.
It's hiatus.
I think 1, 2, 3, I don't know. I don't remember when we did this blast, but we did it. Now we're doing this. And now this has happened. And episode 22 in the can, Dave. Now you can make soup.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm chicken noodle. Amateur.
I'm just going to say, I'm starting with that. I'm going to refine it through a couple iterations. Then once I get it going good, it's going to be matzo ball soup. I'm going to go the way of my people.
Oh, man, that's... I don't know how I feel about that because I've never had matzo ball soup.
It's tasty.
You'd
like a matzo ball, man.
Just going to have to...
Trust me.
I can't trust you on what I would like.
Trust me. Trust me.
No, but I will try it.
Okay, cool.
But I'm going to tell you on the hierarchy of soups, really, gazpacho is the easy one.
I believe it. Pretty much
just grind up vegetables and put them in a thing, in a pot, and then you mix it up.
And then it's done, yeah.
And then it's done.
I mean, that's the glory of a cold soup. But I'm just saying,
it's like
the first snowy day of the year, you're not just like, yes, I want a chilled gazpacho. That's not seasonal.
It's like salsa with cucumbers and maybe carrots if you're into that. And less garlic and no onions. I mean, I guess you put onion. You can put whatever you want in it. I don't care.
It's your gazpacho.
You want to make banana gazpacho? Who am I to tell you?
I don't.
You can't. I kind of do now.
Ew.
Bananas, strawberries. I mean, it's like a fruit salad, but come on. Just get on board with me that it's gazpacho.
It's fruit spacho.
Oh, man. Should we have a fruit spacho recipe contest?
God,
no. Because some asshole put Dave's Insanity sauce in it. That's the end of the food contest. It's right there. Oh, wow. Episode 22, Dave. Anything you want to add before we sign off?
No, I think we're good. I think we're good to go.
Are you sure?
No, but, you know. Sometimes you just got to go on a hunch in this business. This business we call pod.
This business we call pod. All right, well, we will be back next week with more of I'm Trying to Think. You should write us. contact@imtryingtothink.com. We get really excited.
Yeah, you heard our delighted childish clapping.
I mean...
And it produced, I think, an informative discussion on logic and how language and logic interact weirdly sometimes.
Yes. And we'll be back next week with more of that kind of thing.
Alrighty.
Alright, signing off. This has been Chuck Werner.
And this has been Dave Stern.
And we will see you next time on I'm Trying to Think.